In the beginning, it's very important that we have the right direction, that we have the right objective, that we really obtain the standard that is required. Then in this way, we can take a step up to a higher level. And then when we've attained the second level, then we achieve the next level. And in this way, we'll be able to realize the practices. If not, it will be difficult to realize the practices. And practice will help us when we improve in many aspects. Our health, our attitude, our state of mind. It will help us in life, reducing of our negative habits. All of these changes will occur. The changes that will be more happy, more compassionate, more friendly. And we won't be confused by all of these external appearances. And why? Because this person has become very clear. No matter who they meet, whatever is happening, they're very clear. And this is because they have this state of realization now, and so they have a very different clarity. Where does this all start? Just as we mentioned earlier, from renunciation, bodhicitta. Most important is that from when we start meditating, what do we do first? We bring our mind home. The second, we bring our mind to calm abiding. In the beginning, we might say, what do I have to realize in the practice? You don't have to realize anything. What you need to do first is that you have to bring your mind to calm abiding. See if you can maintain a state of calm abiding for 20 minutes or 30 minutes. And then this is your state of realization. First attain this standard. And then all of these negative things we will be able to resolve through pith instructions. However, if we don't have the foundation of the calm abiding first, how are we going to realize these other practices? The problem is we've confused how to do things. What are we doing every day? We're reciting. We are reading. And then we think, oh, I've really done so much merit. I've done so many practices. In reality, you haven't really done anything. It's possible that when you're reciting, moment by moment, your mind isn't present. It's better that you don't recite it first. First, bring your mind to calm abiding. First, look at my mind. What is going on with my mind? Why is it that I am never able to transform my mind? It's not that you're not able to do it. The problem is that your method is incorrect. And when our method is incorrect, not only do we not get any result in our practice, it might even generate or encourage some negative habits. Why is it that some people, when they've done a lot of study and learning, that they are not able to bring their mind to calm abiding? Because they never really practiced. And then all of that theory has now made their mind more discriminatory and have now become conceptual obscurations. Here are the cases where people have been thinking about emptiness for 20 or 30 years. What exactly is emptiness? However, they've never settled down and practiced and able to bring their mind to calm abiding for 10 minutes. The Buddha Dharma is that we are able to face ourselves, not that we are able to face Buddha Dharma. What we have to face through practice is our own mind, not to face the Dharma. What is the Dharma there to do? To give us a method. What you need to be able to do is see your own mind clearly. And we must know how to practice to do this. All of these attachments, aversions, and ignorances, all of these causes that bring about samsara have arisen from our own mind. Whatever negative activity we've engaged in has arisen first from our mind. Use whatever methods we can to bring our mind to calm abiding, to master this mind. The great Atisha said that people's random thoughts are like the rays of the sun. There are that many. And to be successful in facing this is what we call a practitioner. Our discriminations really are quite incredible, without any ability to control them. And then to think that without any practice, how are we going to resolve this? Do you think it's going to be possible if we don't meditate? Essentially, our mind is always in samsara. Always in samsara. Every moment it's engaging in negative activities, continuing samsaric activities. And if our mind is continuously this scattered and this lost, then we say that if we are reciting mantras, does it have no merit? Of course it has merit. However, it has no relation to attaining liberation and enlightenment. Just as long as if you want to attain liberation, you must bring this mind to calm abiding. If you want to attain Buddhahood, you must bring this mind to calm abiding. If you want to attain enlightenment, you must bring this mind to calm abiding. If you want to know Rigpa, you must bring your mind to calm abiding. If you want to be in unity with your Vajraguru, you must bring your mind to calm abiding. And when we are able to bring our mind to calm abiding, then our mind has this ability to purify these arising afflictive emotions. It has this inherent wisdom. Practice is very important. And then when we've brought our mind to calm abiding, and then we say, well, I want to realize wisdom emptiness, then what we need to do is add belief in our Vajraguru. And this belief is really incredibly important. Very, very important. Attaining liberation and enlightenment doesn't rely on your mastery. It relies on faith, belief. In reality, practice is not complicated. It's really quite simple. As far as I'm concerned, practice is very simple. All we have to do is have belief in the Vajraguru, listen to the instructions of the Vajraguru, and then applying those instructions given by the Vajraguru into our daily life. In my personal experience, this is what has been most helpful for me. Really, because many of these technical, theoretical things, I'm really not able to apply. However, those instructions given to me by His Holiness Lama Achuk Rinpoche, in any time, any moment, I'm able to apply them. And in applying these instructions, really, in benefiting sentient beings, it provides an incredible belief and energy and ability. And in terms of practice, I also feel it is quite simple. Just as long as we have compassion towards sentient beings and we have belief in our Vajraguru and we continue practicing this, I really don't believe there will be any problem. Our practice can be quite simple and successful. However, if we want to make everything very complicated, then we won't be able to realize the practices. And we'll never finish our practices. And the more and more we practice, the more scattered we will become. The more we practice, the more scattered we will become. Our knowledge will become greater and greater, and our state of realization will become worse and worse. And then there will be many things that we won't be able to realize in terms of practice. Because if we don't have a state of realization through practice, when these karmas arise, we won't be able to face them and resolve them. Some of the simple afflictions, of course, we will be able to give rise to a little bit of bodhicitta, or we transform the thought, we can do this. However, when these very strong habits and strong karma arises, the way to face this is that we must practice. And in so doing, when this very strong karma arises, very smoothly, we can transform it and use the energy of this very strong karma as the object of our meditative practice. Mind unmoving. As soon as our mind moves, we won't be able to be successful in transforming it. As soon as our mind moves, we won't transcend it. Use this energy of the karma as the object of our meditation. However, this energy doesn't have any compassion. It has an energy. Use this energy as the object of our meditation. We're not able to see this energy, and yet we are not able to control this energy. This is what we call karma.